Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome along to the Racing Post Football Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Mark Langdon, James Milton and Paddy Power's Jason Murphy. And we are all still a little bit in a state of shock after three nights of utterly incredible football. It's going to be a bit of a weird dynamic at play today because we've got Mark, who's a Tottenham fan, and there's a big whiff of chewing gum there, I think, to try and sort of keep the smell of Stella away from us. He's obviously ecstatic. James is an Arsenal fan, but James is a kind of rounded individual. So how bitter are you at the moment, James?
I'm absolutely livid.
Oh, yeah? Okay. He's livid. You've got Jason Murphy, who not only is a Man United fan and has seen Liverpool get to the Champions League final, but also in an act of absolute genius, in the postcast at the start of the year, put up Ajax at 100-1 each way for the Champions League. And then you've got me, who thought, wow, that's a good bet, and I had 25 quid each way. And Jason, I owe you an apology, right? Because I jinxed. I don't believe in anything. I'm not spiritual, I'm not religious, but I think I might have jinxed you, because at half-time, I thought, oh, do you know what I'll do? On the postcast tomorrow, we'll get a little clip of Jason tipping up Ajax at hundreds and we'll just do a tip. So I went back, looked at when you did it, got the date, and I was about to send an email to the lads and said, look, can you just get a little clip? And by doing that, I think I jinxed it, Jason. So I apologise profusely, my friend. But first word has got to go with Mark. And this isn't with your neutral analytical head on. Well done, mate. Fantastic. How happy are you?
I mean, if James is livid, then I'm the opposite of that. I mean, it goes beyond football, doesn't it, really, this sort of stuff. I think any fan can sort of appreciate that, just the emotions of it. I mean, I spoke to my dad sort of in the morning of yesterday, and he was just like, you know, this is probably the last chance before I die of being able to see this. And that sort of brings it to you even more. You know, you get Glenn Hoddle saying he's happy he's still alive to have seen it.
Oh, didn't he?
He did. And, you know, I mean, Pochettino, his reaction at the end.
I tell you, that was pure class.
Yeah, the connection he's got with the fans and has really brought the club together. It's been a difficult season. I mean, not as difficult as, you know, what Bury or you know, teams like that.
You knew £2 billion stadium.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, for you. I mean, but you know, you have a look at, like, you know, Lucas was the last signing, all them FA Cup semi-final defeats, one after the other. I mean, the last victory in one of those was 1991. So I mean, I was 10 when that happened, and I was there when Gascoigne scored that goal, and I didn't think that would ever be beaten. And then when Lucas did that last night, it just was.
Were you at home?
I was at home, yeah, because the way the rotor had worked out, I mean, I assumed we'd lose to Man City, so I didn't make any provisions for it. I spoke to a few people that were in Amsterdam. One of them said it was the best 450 quid he'd ever spent. I'm assuming he meant flights, but I can't be certain. But I mean, I know somebody else who was running a minibus, and they sort of drove through the night on Tuesday, and I don't think anyone went to sleep. And then I saw a tweet from Matt Dickinson in the Times, from the Times today, who said he was checking out behind a Spurs fan, and like the concierge just said, oh, you know, did you have a good stay, that blah blah blah, and you say it's the best day of my life, and that was, I think, how we all felt. Yeah.
Did you wake the kids up? Deliberately, but accidentally, celebration.
They didn't come. They didn't sort of come down if I did.
Okay.
I've no idea, to be honest. It was a bit of a blur last night.
James, I can imagine you sitting on your walled library listening to the wireless with a smoking jacket on and just tutting as the goal went in. What did you do?
Yeah, it was. It was pretty staggering. I must confess, I had an emotional hedge on Tottenham at the start of the semi-finals. But I find staking your emotional hedges so difficult. It's never enough.
It's still
going to hurt if they win it. But you know, you have to say what Pochettino's done there.
That second half was utterly compelling. I've never seen 45 minutes of football. Never mind that sport. It was compelling. It was fluctuating. It was going one way or the other. It was so pulsating. It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
I thought almost the you know, obviously Liverpool the previous night, it was almost a free hit for them, and then they get the early goal. And then suddenly, you know, anything can happen. With Spurs, I mean, to come down from going 2-0 down on the night, I thought that showed even more character.
When they got it back to 2-2, you just thought, one, just give us another chance. And it fell to Vertonghen. And I think Lloris said afterwards, that was it, really. And, you know, done given up, but I think there was 40 shots in the game, mate, or something. I mean, both teams. I mean, Tadic has done a Ginola, though, hasn't he? Because he could have run it into the corner and he had a shot instead,
yes,
in the
93rd. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we can officially hold the funeral for the word Spursy now, can't we?
I'm sure if they lose the final.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Jason, were you trading the game or were you down the pub? What did you do?
I was in for Tuesday night's match, but I had a match last night myself, so I missed the first half and heard the score a half time in the Ajax game, thinking nice 1-2-0, they're in the final. Go home, got a shower, was making a bit of food, but didn't rush in. Then seeing, oh, Spurs scored. Okay, right, let's have a look at this. And then, look, it's been a difficult week, I'm not going to lie to you. There's a famous Irish poet, Patrick Kavanagh, who wrote a poem called Epic. And basically, the gist of the poem is there's two farmers fighting over a bit of land, and trying to make out, is that more important than what's happening in Munich with regards to World War II? And at the end of the poem, it's the local battles that have the most importance. Now, I'm a Man United fan. I know one Man City fan, but I'm surrounded by Liverpool fans at work. My father's a Liverpool fan. A lot of my friends are Liverpool fans. So Monday night, if you're asking me who do I want to win the league, it's Man City, just for local reasons. But a good friend of mine was over at the Manchester Derby, and I always wondered what would be the mood there at the stadium. And he was saying it's only when he went over he realised that the Manchester fans, who are Manchester based, absolutely hate Man City, and they wanted Man City not to win the league on that night, not to win that game. So it's all about local importance. So when Vincent Kompany banged in that goal Monday night, I would have jumped out of my chair anyways, just because of the strike, just because of the story and the narrative. But because it matters a bit more, I'll admit it, I was celebrating that goal. And then you come to Tuesday night, and from such a high to such a low. And again, it's local importance. And look, I can appreciate sport. I absolutely love every game, every sport going. And you can appreciate what Liverpool did. But also, as a fan, I don't have to be happy for Liverpool fans. It's okay for me to feel like this. You can't have the highs without the lows. And then last night, Wednesday night, as a football fan, I would love and seen Ajax in the final, just for the narrative, the story of it with the young players, the style of football that they play. It didn't matter to me as much personally, apart from the fact that you have a bet on it. And that's why we have a bet. We throw a few quid on. We have a bit of interest. And look, happy for Mark. Again, listening to Mark there talking this morning, like, you appreciate, as a fan, the great experience he's having. Didn't affect me too personally, apart from losing the bet last night, but so be it. We got to run for our money over it. But
we did.
My God, as Dizzy Rascal says, bonkers. That's what this last week has been.
It really has. I mean, the police are out looking for Vinny Company's thunder. I mean, we should have been talking about that for weeks to come. We can hardly even remember it.
Brilliant question on the BBC Daily podcast today, which was sort of the best moment. And it was like the Moura one, Liverpool's comeback, or the Vincent Company. And I mean, you can make cases for just all three of them, I suppose. It depends sort of what your interest is.
That's 5 years worth of drama. You don't get three bits like that in 5 years, Norman. And we got him in three nights. I must admit, I'm still trying to make sense of it. And I've got to say this as well. I'm a punter. I was on Ajax at hundreds. And people were tweeting me, really nice tweets from people who listen to the podcast. And they're like, oh my God, bad luck, bad luck. To me, it's a privilege to sit through those three nights of football. That's why we love it. Football comes first. If you're a football punter, you love football first. And you augment your enjoyment with betting. I thought that was fantastic. And I tell you what, when Pochettino broke down in that interview with Des Kelly, I just started crying. I found the whole 3 days so gripping and so amazing. And I love football, and I love the thought that young kids are watching that and getting into football and falling in love like we all did at the first time. It was absolutely brilliant. Okay, that's enough of the emotional stuff and the tribal stuff and who we support and who we like and how happy we were. We're here now to look ahead to more great football and hopefully put you the way of some decent bets. We'll start tonight with the Europa League, rather, semi-final second legs. We've got Chelsea versus Eintracht Frankfurt and Valencia versus Arsenal, both at 8 o'clock. Give us some winning selections. James, who do you think, if we're only going to have one bet on these two, who's it going to be?
I'd really like both teams to score in Chelsea-Eintracht, actually. I think Eintracht probably have left themselves with too much to do after 1-1 draw at home. They then went and conceded six times in 36 minutes against Leverkusen on Sunday. So that suggests their defence isn't in great nick. But, you know, they've won away to Marseille, Lazio, Inter this season and scored twice with 10 men at Benfica. So they can definitely land a blow. I suspect Chelsea will have enough to qualify.
Mark, what's going to be your Europa League net?
I mean, obviously on Valencia outright, so cheering that on. I think
No more comeback.
That Aubameyang third goal, I think, probably takes the tie away from him right at the end there. I think Chelsea to win and over 2.5 in this game at Stamford Bridge. Eintracht Frankfurt will not die wondering, but I think that will probably be to their downfall. In that 6-1 defeat that James mentioned, Leverkusen had over 1,000 passes.
Joking. No, it was. I'm a very keen passes player.
I think what happened was in the second half, because it was 6-1, I didn't see the game, but the Google stats had over 1,000 passes and 80% possession. Something like that, which is, I think they were just tapping it around. But yeah, Eintracht won't die wondering, but I think they'll get beat.
Okay, and Jason, if you're having one bet on the Europa League action tonight, who would it be?
Yeah, I don't think it's too late to get involved with Valencia in the outright. I know that Aubameyang goal was very important, but I'd still fancy Valencia. They're a Champions League quality team. Unlucky to go out in the group that United were in with Juve. They were just poor first half of the season, but second half of the season they turned it around. They were just drawing a lot of games first half of the season, but the quality squad there, and just with Arsenal's away record as well. I know they bet Napoli away in the last round, but in the Premier League, you know, they've lost 8 games away in the Premier League this season. And two poor performances away to Leicester and Wolves recently as well, and very lackluster against Brighton too. So I think just Valencia with the Spanish crowd, I fancied them on the night to actually overturn Arsenal, so I backed them to win it outright, because Kante looks a doubt for the final as well, presuming Chelsea get through. So there's 8-1 on Valencia out there. I'd get involved with that.
James Milton, I can just see in the corner of my left eye, I start convulsing now. That really would put the lid on a week, wouldn't it?
I think it could be tense. I mean, yeah, that third goal was key. But I was looking in the correct scores, kind of maybe 2-1 Valencia. But yeah, it's not going to be easy, is it?
Okay, quick word on the Champions League final. Liverpool Favs, Jason, yeah?
Yeah, so in the 90-minute market, Champions League outright, we have Liverpool 8-15 to win it outright, Spurs 6-4, and then in the 90-minute market, with Liverpool 10-11, draw 12-5, and Spurs 11-4.
Okay, we will come to that in greater detail in future weeks. Just to say that thought crossed my mind last night. I thought months ago I booked tickets to go and see Muse at the London Stadium. I'll have to dig out that out because I need to sort my diary out. And I looked, and obviously it's on June the 1st. So that's no good. Right, let's look at Sunday's action next.
Right, 10 seconds to promote Paddy Power Games. Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games. Advertising. It's easy when you know how. Paddy Power. Enough of the nonsense. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, on Saturday we've got playoffs. We'll come to that in a bit. But first, let's look at Sunday's Premier League action. The race for the title reaches its conclusion. It's been an absolute blinder. Really, really great ding-dong between two epic sides who have fought hammer and nail right to the end. The advantage is with Man City, and they're obviously really, really short to get the job done now. But we've seen this week a reminder that nothing is ever done until the final whistles blow. So at 3 p.m, Brighton take on Man City at the Amex, and Liverpool take on Wolves at Anfield. We'll do Brighton versus City first. What's the betting, Jason? And we'll stick with you for the first tip.
Yeah, so we've Man City 1-7, the draw 7-1, and Brighton 14-1 at home. Brighton have always, you know, dug in against Man City, even when they've gone a goal behind in recent fixtures. You know, they haven't given up the ghost. In three of the last four meetings, under 2.5 goals has clicked. But last week against Arsenal, Brighton were, you know, a bit more aggressive, a bit more attacking. They actually had 28 touches in the opposition box last week, which is the most they've had in the away game this season. So I think if Brighton did go that route and open up a bit, I think the floodgates could go open up and Man City could have an easy enough day here. But the bet for me that stands out is Man City to win 2-0 at 5-6. We know Brighton have trouble scoring goals, and Man City defensively are very sound. So I think Man City to win 2-0 at 5-6. And if you want a goal scorer, I think Raheem Sterling hasn't scored in his last few games, but he's still got 17 goals in the league this season. And at 4-1 for first goal scorer, I think he's a bit of value at that.
When Mark's finished giving us his view, Jason, we'll come back to you quickly for the latest title betting. Mark?
I'm going to go for similar lines really to Jason. Man City to win and under 3.5 goals. 10 of City's last 12 Premier League wins have been 2-0. And we've seen them when they've got in front in recent weeks, like even at Burnley, started bringing on, you know, defenders and really shutting up shop, which not quite been the Guardiola way previously. And I can see a similar kind of pattern. If they get, say, 2-0 up, there's no need for them to go risking anything. And if you have a look at Brighton, they've lost all 8 matches against the top 4 in all competitions this season, but only by an aggregate of 13-2. So they keep it respectable. They lost only 1-0 in the FA Cup semi-final. They're still trying. I mean, the effort they put in at the Emirates was ridiculous, really, for a team that would just got safe. Shows
you everyone's trying.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Huddersfield, Crystal Palace won. You know, the Bournemouth beat Tottenham. The integrity of the Premier League is absolutely there, and I think that Brighton will stay honest. They're just not good enough, really.
Also, I think the manager's under a little bit of pressure. He'd probably quite like to
can have a job back at Spurs doing something anytime he wants. Chrissy Hughton
could be manager.
Yeah, maybe not that far.
Let's not go there. Let's not take your mood down. What's the latest title betting, Jason?
Yeah, so it's Man City 1-9, Liverpool 11-2.
Do you think there'll be a shock, James?
I don't. Just you know, just looking at the way City have been grinding out these wins, and as Mark said, it's not what we associate with Pep. But you know, they've won last 13. 9 of those have been 1-0 or 2-0. They've actually scored 34 away goals, which is 2 more than Palace. So Palace
done well then, haven't they?
Yeah,
blimey, outscoring us away from home. Fair play.
Exactly. Yeah, they deserve the title. But yeah, as Mark said, City and under 3.5. I like the look of that at odds against it, and the correct score, I think, 2-0 looks about right.
Did you say 9 of their last 13 wins been either 1-0 or 2-0?
Yes, that's
a good stat.
Yeah.
Excellent. Right then, Liverpool versus Wolves. This is not an absolute penalty kick for Liverpool, I don't think. We'll see how short they are, and then we'll get Mark's view. What's the latest on this, Jason?
Liverpool 1-3, draw 4-1, and Wolves 8-1.
Could you see Wolves potentially upsetting the apple cart?
I think in terms of a draw, I think that may be the way to go. I mean, it's been an amazing effort by Liverpool to take this City team to the final day. I mean, it's a City team that, you know, got 100 points last season, just off it this year. But I do wonder if City are ahead, like 2-0, like it becomes difficult, I think, for Liverpool maybe to go again. And Wolves are a good side, as they've proven time and time again. 16 points against the top 6 this season, which is actually more than they've gotten against the bottom 6, which is 14 points. Liverpool are unbeaten in 39 home Premier League games. Wolves have actually won 2 of their last 3 trips to Anfield as well.
They're made for them. They're the ultimate counter-attacker.
In terms of the Premier League, they're the only team in the Big Six that haven't taken a point off so far. They lost at Molineux, but they did beat them in the FA Cup. And just at the prices, given the dynamic of the, you know, what's likely to happen at the Amex, I just wouldn't want to be taking 1-3 about anybody, really.
No, that's one of the maddest stats this season. I think 40% of Huddersfield's league points this season have come against Wolves. But they're good against the good sides. Will they be good here, do you think, James?
I'm probably guilty of a bit of pre-after timing, if that's a thing. But I'm on Wolves for little bits at kind of 18 and 19-1. So their prices. I looked on Odds Checker. Apparently they opened up at kind of 28s and 25s with
that's
a couple
crazy,
of firms,
isn't
which
it?
Is incredible, really. So down to 8-1 now. You know, there's so many imponderables about how the game's going to unfold.
And of course, Liverpool aren't going to be at full strength by any means, are they?
No, exactly. So the bet I like the look of, Mark's mentioned how good Wolves are against the big sides. And also, they tend to finish their games very strongly. So Wolves to win the second half at 11-2 might be worth a little dabble.
Excellent. Jace the ace?
Yeah, I'd go with the boys thinking as well, especially like, you know, if Man City, if word comes through that they're 2-0 up after a half hour, which could happen, you know, that changes the dynamic completely. So that's a very good tip there by James for Wolves in the second half. For me, I'd just go with Wolves double chance. Like, it is no gimme. Wolves, like, normally this stage of the season, you might think a team, like, they're guaranteed 7, they might make a few changes, but, like, Wolves have only used 17 outfield players in the league this season, so...
They really?
Yeah, and...
Sorry, Jason, go on.
Yeah, and one of those players only played a couple of minutes, so really 16 outfield players. So what changes can they make or would they make? And also, if you took out results against the bottom 4 teams in the league, Wolves would actually be third in the table. So they're a very strong team. There's no gimme here. Unfortunately for Liverpool fans, as far as the weekend's concerned, like, they're going to be like the fairy tale in New York. They're going to be the best ever not to get to number one. And as far as I'm concerned, like... Just they've given us a great title race and fair play. And we've talked about the 3 games this week. Like, what happened Saturday night was just fantastic as well. Very clever from Fabinho. you know, Van Dijk shouting at Shaqiri to whip it in, which was the right thing to do as well.
I can't remember what happened.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course, yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, so, but if you're looking for a bet, I'd Wolves double chance, 23-10, there's plenty of things to back in that.
Just on Wolves, very quickly, Bruce. In terms of like next season for them, if they do get Europa League, 9 of their players have started at least 31 matches this season.
Wow.
Which, I mean, if you think like Sevilla went out at the last 16 stage, I think it was, of the Europa League, and they played 16 matches to get that far. So there's another half a season. You know, they've got the finances to do it, but they'll need to do it because you can't run on that smaller squad if you've got Europa League as well.
Blimey. Right, we're looking at the race for the top four. I mean, basically, this needs quite a lot to happen, doesn't it? Is it an 8-goal difference between Tottenham?
I mean, Arsenal need to win, Tottenham need to lose, and there needs to be an 8-goal swing.
Okay, so we'll quickly do these then. 3 o'clock again, Burnley versus Arsenal, Tottenham versus Everton. Jason, give us the match odds for both of those, and then just give us your views on them.
Yeah, so we've Burnley 11-5, the draw 13-5, and Arsenal 11-10 to win away. And then we've Tottenham 11-10, we've the draw 12-5, and Everton to win away at 12-5. For me, obviously the Arsenal game tonight is a big factor. I don't think there's a chance of them getting top four. So therefore, they're going to be tired on Sunday. They might necessarily be flat out, especially if they do get through to the Europa League final. Whereas Burnley, they've lost their last two to Man City and Everton, but you know, they've got a 2-2 draw against Chelsea, and you know, they're always tough at home. So like I say, Arsenal a tough game tonight in Spain, so I won't be put off having a little dibble dabble on Burnley at 21-10. And same goes for Spurs, you know, that's going to be very draining last night, what's happened. Whereas Everton, you know, if you look at the last 10 games, Everton would actually be third in the table, so they're not going to give Spurs an easy game. Last day of the season as well, and like, you know, Kane is out, Dele Alli needs a rest. You imagine Eriksen's going to be resting as well. Spurs are going to be looking towards, you know, the Champions League final here. So Everton at 12-5, I think, is worth a bet as well.
Vincent Janssen, first scorer, Mark.
Well, the way Llorente came on and did the business last night, maybe he did do well. But I mean, it's Blind and De Ligt's probably weakness in the air, like, you know, them sort of long diagonal balls. Whereas
Kane to be fit for the final?
Yeah, I mean, do you see the way
he had a turn of foot there?
He did. Although Des Kelly did say to him after the game, well, if selected, and sort of Kane had to check himself and say, oh yeah, yeah, if selected. So I wanted to oppose Tottenham yesterday morning. I thought they were too short when they were odds on. They have drifted now, and price is probably about right. So I think the draw could be the best bet there. It suits Tottenham, keeps Everton's run going, and also I don't really want to be back in Tottenham because even a low defeat is good enough. Sure. But in terms of the Burnley Arsenal game, I thought Burnley were a little bit big just because, you know, Arsenal have got this very difficult game on Thursday, and Burnley, I can see Sean Dyche, I mean, putting an absolute no-show effort at all against Everton. I don't fancy them to do another one. I don't think they will. And you know, we could see a sort of mix and match Arsenal team. Talking of emotional hedges, I think it's 200-1 Arsenal finishing the top four for any Spurs fans out there that are a little bit nervy.
I tell you what, before James, you give us your verdict. Did anyone see the? You won't have, Mark. You'd have been dancing all around the living room, but the director's choices of image the moment that goal went in was so peculiar. First of all, they cut to this shot of Harry Kane. I can't remember who was sitting next to him.
Davinson Sanchez.
And they looked like all they wanted to was get down and celebrate. So they were looking kind of a little bit confused and dazed. Then I think there was this really amazing shot of the Ajax players kind of falling to the ground one by one. That was kind of heartbreaking. And then there's a shot of Peter Walton.
Yeah, did you see that? I did see the Peter Walton one, yeah.
And as I said in my comments, I forgot about that. I love cutting to Peter Walton wherever possible, but there was a Peter Walton shot.
The best shot, it was Eric Lamella's Instagram Live on the pitch after the game with Danny Rose necking a bottle of Heineken. I don't know where he got it from, and he was a little bit embarrassed that Lamella was putting it on his Instagram, and he was sort of, I'm not sure they're going to...
He had it down his sock for the whole match. Yeah.
Did you ever see that brilliant interview with German TV that our friend Didi Hermann did? He still had his Liverpool kit. He's in his kit, and he's giving a really sensible answer, and then when the interviewer asks the question, up comes this pint of lager, and he just sucks it while he's asking the question. Absolutely brilliant. Right then, James, sorry. Burnley versus Arsenal and Tottenham v Everton. What do you like?
I think Burnley probably are still backable at these prices. Obviously, talking before Arsenal's trip to Valencia. The bet that stands out is James Tarkowski, first goal scorer each way, 25s. He's got 3 goals in the league this season. And Arsenal defended set pieces woefully, particularly against Palace. They were dreadful against Valencia in the early stages as well. So I think he might get chances.
Okay, Tottenham, Everton, anything there?
Not keen on Tottenham. I haven't actually realised just how good Everton's recent form is. 8 clean sheets in 10 and playing really well. Maybe one or both teams not to score. I think a nice damp squib would suit Tottenham.
Any old excuse you can to damage pride. 8-11 Everton, double chance. I quite like that. Right, let's do the rest of the Sunday 3 p.m. games.
Friends, or maybe more. Earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18plus.begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Football Postcast. Bruce Millington, Mark Langdon, James Milton and Paddy Powers, Jason Murphy. We've done all the games at the top of the table that are relevant on Sunday at 3 p.m. Let's spin through the other six very quickly. Jason, give us the odds and then your verdict. Palace, Bournemouth.
Yeah, Palace 5-6 at home, draw 11-4 and Bournemouth 11-4. I thought Bournemouth were awful against the 9-minute Spurs last week. If you look, took their good start to the season over it and just went off the last 25 games in the league, they'd be 16th in the table, 2 points ahead of Cardiff, 3 points ahead of Brighton and 4 points ahead of Fulham. That's how bad Bournemouth have been. Haven't been helped by injuries, but again, that'll be a factor. They'd be missing Brooks and Gosling and a fair few other first team regulars as well for this game. So I know Palace have had the second worst home record in the league, only 4 wins in 18. But I just think Palace at 5-6, just given how bad Bournemouth have been, I'd have a little dabble at that.
I'll tell you what is odd. Our home form has been crap this year, but only 5 teams have conceded fewer home goals than us.
It's just been mischances, yeah. Isn't it? A lot of the time. And, you know, people, we come to this thing that they want to play on the counter-attack, and I'm sure they do, but, you know, if they would have had a striker that just put away all the simple exactly. chances, then...
Didn't have a striker until literally no. Benteke came back and Batshuayi came in January.
And, you know, I think that Bournemouth are not a team that sit back anyway, so, I mean, I was quite happy to back Crystal Palace at a shade of odds on. I mean, you had a look at the... I mean, Spurs were absolutely smashed off the boards to beat Bournemouth, and I'm pretty sure they would have done so convincingly. Even with 10 men, they were favourites, and when it was down to 9 men, Bournemouth were only just about a shade of odds on. So, market's clearly against them at the moment. I mean, the goalkeeper did very well, but if you got him, was it Simpson at the back? There's a few sort of youngsters being given their head at the moment. I think Palace will win.
James, what do you think?
I'm still reluctant to back Palace at odds on at home. I thought maybe the 2-2 draw, I think it should be entertaining. As you said, Palace creating chances all season and have been taking more of them. And Bournemouth's last away game was a 3-3 draw at Southampton.
And Roy intrepidly went 4-2-4 last week. He put Ayew up instead of the third functional midfielder. It was great fun. Fulham versus Newcastle, which is also they played for both clubs. Jason, give us the latest odds.
Yeah, so we go Fulham 7-5, the draw 12-5, and Newcastle 17-10.
Mark? Luis Saha?
Yeah, struggling at the moment.
Scott Parker.
Cool. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, what's going to happen, Mark?
I'm sorry, I caught me off. I thought we were going to do it on Liverpool v Tottenham, but they play for both clubs.
We're waiting for that. That's a Champions League special.
I've got a team and subs.
A team?
And subs, in positions as
okay,
well.
We'll do that for the Champions
okay,
League.
Okay, but Fulham v Newcastle, not a game I want to be getting too heavily involved in, but Salomon Rondon, first goal scorer, I was very impressed with the way that he played against Liverpool. He obviously doesn't play like that every week, otherwise he wouldn't be at sort of West Brom and then Newcastle. But I can see this one being an entertaining, you know, last round of matches, and still not totally convinced by Fulham's sort of defensive resolve. And I think I've got goals at both ends, and I like Rondon a lot.
You got a whole team for Liverpool Tottenham in position
and subs like a proper.
I was out with a dog thinking about that this morning. I only got 4.
Oh,
okay. Anyway,
okay, sorry.
Hold you.
Try and do Fulham Newcastle.
James, what's going to happen in Fulham Newcastle?
Yeah, I actually like the look of the draw in this one. Fulham have improved at the back. They couldn't have got much worse. But under 2.5 has copped in 5 of their last 6. I think Scotty Parker will be keen to maintain that, and it could be a. I don't even know what kind of game it will be, but the draw.
Okay. Jason.
Yeah, I'd back up what James says there. I've written down unders has clicked in Fulham's last 4 matches. And Newcastle, lowest goals per game all season at 2.3 goals on average. So under 2.5 goals at odds against that 11-10, I'd happily back that. And Damien Duff is the only one that comes to
Damien
mind.
Damien Duff, yeah.
I'm doing badly. I'm struggling.
Did he manage both clubs? Kevin Keegan.
Kevin Keegan, yeah, of course, yeah.
Did he manage four?
Yeah. Didn't he?
Yeah. League One or something.
Yeah, struggle. Let's keep that in the back of your mind. Leicester versus Chelsea, Jason.
Yeah, we've Leicester 7-4, draw 12-5, and Chelsea 7-5.
What do you think here, James?
Yeah, I like the look of Leicester's price in this one, actually. Obviously, beat Arsenal 3-0 last time out, helped by a red card for Arsenal. But they've won four of their last five at home, and Chelsea, having secured a top four finish, probably going to be all eyes on the Europa League. So, yeah, Leicester at 7-4 looks
interesting. And they were giving City a fair old test.
Yeah,
as well,
yeah, not bad at all, yeah.
Took a bit of a goal to beat. And what do you like here, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be very strong on Leicester. The 10 matches since Rodgers has taken charge, they'd actually have a point more than Chelsea. They did win 1-0 around Christmas time as well at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea, we know Kante is out, Rudiger is out as well. So a tough game tonight, and they won't be able to make as much changes as they might want to freshen it up for Sunday. Chelsea did beat Watford last week, but it was a draw at half-time, and Sarri admitted himself that Watford's intensity dropped off in the second half as well, so I'd be quite sweet on Leicester at 7-4.
I'm looking to get massively with Leicester anti-post next year. I think I've taken a real shine to this lot.
I like Leicester to win this game. I mean, it's going to be interesting, isn't that sort of outside the top six with Wolves and Everton. You know, the good potential there for both of those to improve, and Leicester, another one. I mean, Chelsea... their season now revolves around the Europa League. I'm sure that that will be the priority. And we're speaking before, we know whether they've got through. But even if it wasn't, I think Leicester would give them a really good game. I mean, if you have a look at Chelsea, no clean sheet away from home against a top half opponent. They've collapsed against two teams that play enterprising football, Bournemouth and Manchester City. I know, so Man City are obviously just world class, but Bournemouth are not. They got four. Leicester do what Bournemouth do, but do it better. And I like Leicester.
Okay, Man United's season has petered out horrifically, but they're going to be very short to beat doomed Cardiff. Jason, just how short?
Yeah, Man United 2-9, draw 11-2, and Cardiff 11-1.
Jason, could you have your boys at 2-9?
Not a chance of it, unfortunately. I've tried to look at a couple of angles here. I thought both teams to score no at 11-10, given Cardiff struggles to score, but then how can you have confidence in that United defence after last week's performances?
I didn't see it. Was it really bad?
Yeah, I mean... Look, there's no such thing as a bad professional footballer. Even the worst players in the Premier League are unbelievable at football. But all a fan asks for is effort, because that's the one thing we know if we're on the pitch, that we, you know, always give 100% if you were a fan playing. And there's Luke Shaw running back, there's Diego Dalot running back last week. It was just... It's so hard to watch. I was thinking over 3.5 goals then for this game, just because of the end of the season, Cardiff not in the play for, but you know, you just aren't cohesive enough that you could trust them to make enough chances to score either. So to be honest, I haven't got a bet for this one really. I just hope United get a result, because they have something to play for. If Arsenal don't get the win against Burnley, you know, you don't want to be coming back in July for Europa League qualifiers. They actually have a match in Singapore against Tottenham on July 26th that would have to be... I don't know, they'd either have to cancel that match or else put out the reserves in the Europa League.
But try telling the commercial manager that.
This is it, exactly. But there's other bets out there on Sunday. I won't be touching this one anyways.
Will you be touching it, Mark?
I just thought the draw, Manchester United, Match of the Day 2 did a very good analysis of their lack of effort in the game against Huddersfield. I mean, Dalot come on as a sub, supposed to be chasing back, and like he's almost running on the spot. And I mean, that's somebody that's young and should be trying to impress, you know, rather than somebody like Pogba who's won a World Cup or whatever. I mean, so if somebody like Dalot can't be bothered, then I mean, what hope is there for the rest? I mean, apart from McTominay, I'm not sure any of them. You know, once you get rid of the ones that don't care and you get rid of the ones that are not good enough, I mean, what are Manchester United left with? The draw, I think Cardiff have been spirited, and it may well be enough. I just want, did Keegan bring Beardsley or Cole with Fulham? I don't know. I mean, my brain's all over the place.
Andy Cole definitely played for both
yeah,
clubs.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like he did.
Andy Cole definitely played for both clubs.
Yeah, later on, yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure.
Maybe I'm getting confused. I can remember him sort of attracting some players. Yeah, so maybe it was Andy Cole.
Zamora? No.
No, not tomorrow. He didn't play for Newcastle.
Cool, we're struggling with this one. Man United versus Cardiff. Will Man United struggle, James?
I think they probably will. I mean, one stat that I've dug up, which is a pretty damning indictment of United, in their last six games, they've scored three times from open play, and two of those have been from Scott McTominay. So Well, I don't think that's what United fans envisaged for the last, coming into the last day of the season. Cardiff have done as well as could be expected, really. If you're desperate for a bet in this one, draw half-time, United full-time, but I'm not mad about this fixture as a betting proposition.
Jason, if you were looking to back United for the title next season, at what point would you start to get remotely interested? 16s?
Yeah, given the budget they have. But the problem is there's a lot of teams looking to rebuild in the summer as well. Like Real Madrid are going to be spending money. PSG will drop a few quid possibly as well. And, you know, you're competing against Man City and Liverpool, which are, you know, like you wouldn't even see players leaving Man City or Liverpool to go to the likes of Real Madrid or Barcelona. They're at great clubs as it is. So even though United have the money, they haven't got Champions League football, and they're going out into a very competitive marketplace to try and buy, you know, the top quality players you need to make a difference. For me, I can't see United challenging for that title next season, looking at their current squad, their current manager, and the potential for who they can sign. And also, Europa League football, like we've seen with Burnley, you know, it does have a negative effect. We talked about with adding half a season as well. I'd bigger than 16s, I'm afraid, yeah.
Nines? Yeah. That's impossible. Absolutely impossible price. Southampton, Huddersfield, how short are Southampton here, Jason?
Yeah, Southampton 4-11, the draw 7-2, and Huddersfield 7-1.
You sounded like you're quite interested there when you said Southampton 4-11, Jason. Have you got a bet for us here?
It's just last day of the season. I'd be going to both teams to score angle, just the way Southampton play. Five of their last six matches, both teams to score has clicked. And Huddersfield, you know, was United, but they did create plenty of chances last week. And I just think Huddersfield have been, you know, what they've achieved in the last 2 years has been incredible. Like, they came up from the Championship with a negative goal difference, winning on penalties in the playoff. And David Wagner, they bet Wolves away there before Christmas, probably November, and played five games in their next eight after that against Brighton, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Fulham and Burnley. And they lost all five games by exactly one goal. You know, they were very unlucky, and I could see why Wagner was maybe burnt out and had to walk away, and, you know, they kind of were cut adrift at that. But what they've achieved in the last 2 years, fantastic football club, and all the best for them in the Championship next season. But I think both teams to score, yes, at 17-20, you know, last day of the season, two teams are not in the play for it. You usually see one of these games running up a high score.
Okay, well said. I agree with you on Huddersfield. Mark, you've been a bit of a cheerleader for Southampton in recent weeks. Has your faith waned at all?
Only because it's now got this sort of end-of-term feel to it. He brought in Fraser Forster. I've completely forgotten about him in goal. And, you know, Ward-Prowse and Redmond weren't on the pitch against West Ham. And they conceded three goals. They could have scored plenty as well. I mean, they were on top when they were 1-0 down. So I like both teams to score. Southampton only got three clean sheets in 28 matches, which, you know, is where they obviously need to improve next season because they keep chucking away leads and stuff like that. But, I mean, Huddersfield, I think, are now showing a bit of spirit. So in that kind of, this could be like a 4-2 or something. That you always, as Jason said, you kind of get a couple of them. End of season could be here.
And James.
Yeah, I mean, Southampton scored three against Wolves, three against Bournemouth in their last two home games. 7-5 that they get three or more again, and creating plenty of chances. I think they could win this pretty easily. Huddersfield conceded an average of 2.5 goals per away game. Done pretty well in the last few weeks, but yeah, I think Saints could have a final day party.
Okay, and finally, Watford 6 days before the FA Cup final. Take on West Ham about 6 hours before they all bugger off to Mykonos for a nice holiday. So how will this one play out? What's the latest betting, Jason?
Yeah, we've Watford 11-10, the draw 13-5, and West Ham 21-10.
What do you make of this, Mark?
I just on that Mykonos, I got a text from somebody, I won't say which team, that said they're all off to Barcelona in the morning. So that was in the EFL. So there are plenty of teams that are starting to think about their holidays.
It's a great time if you want an autograph hunter or a selfie hunter. If you go to like some of the more upmarket Greek islands this time of year, it's an absolute,
and also a bit of Marbella for the stag do's as well. Yeah, I mean, stag do haven. I thought West Ham. A game actually that's quite important for betting purposes because it will decide top half finish. Against Watford after they reached the cup final. I did say when it was Wolves and Watford in that sort of semi, it always happens and naturally. And I think week before the FA Cup final, I think West Ham can win this game. I mean, I don't see why Watford would be all in, that's for sure.
No, I'm on West Ham without the big seven each way. I think I've done my money there.
You have.
I think I've done my money. But they can sneak a top half, can they?
They can.
Okay, so you're going to go West Ham.
Yeah.
James?
Yeah, I thought West Ham would be a bit shorter, actually, given the FA Cup final for Watford, and it has been making plenty of changes. They've only won two of their last eight, and those were against relegated Fulham and Huddersfield. So, I'm happy to side with West Ham, scoring plenty of goals and looking in good nick.
I've got an angle here. If football really did have an actual shop window and you walk past it, the one person at the front with his arms out going, me, buy me, is Marko Arnautović. You got a couple last week. What price is he to open the scoring this time, Jason?
You've actually taken me tip there.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry, mate.
Yeah, no, just bang on. Great minds think alike. Yeah, 6-1 first goal score. Like you say, if you're looking the West Ham angle, I just can't be confident in West Ham. Like you say, you're talking about holidays, but first goal scorer, a player who wants to, you know, to finish the season well. Got two goals last weekend as well, so he's definitely up for it. So yeah, Arnautović, 6-1 first goal score.
Excellent, good. I'm glad you endorsed that one. Right, let's look at the playoffs next because they spring into life tonight.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Right then, the action is hotting up down the divisions because we've got the League Two playoffs starting tonight with Newport versus Mansfield, and then tomorrow we've got Tranmere versus Forest Green in a battle of the Rovers. What's the latest outright, Jason, on who's going to be elevated to League One?
Yeah, so for promotion, we've Mansfield 17-10, Forest Green 11-4, Tranmere we've 11-4 as well, and then Newport we've 7-2.
Okay, Dan Charles is part of Newport. What we're going to do here is quickly spin through who we think will go up, and then if there's any decent bets in the first legs, Mark.
In terms of going up, Mansfield are too short. I mean, they've been on a terrible run, lost a couple of players to injury, and they've also got this thing of having to pick themselves up, having, you know, missed the opportunity to go up automatically last week. I never like it when they're, you know, the players are on their knees, and then all of a sudden, you know, 4 or 5 days later, they've got to try and go to Newport, who've got a brilliant home record. So, I mean, I think probably the value is with Newport. I mean, Tranmere and Forest Green wouldn't like to separate them. Newport's price is inflated because it's seen that they'll go out to Mansfield, but I mean, I think they'll win the first leg, and then Mansfield have got it all to do.
James?
Yeah, I'm echoing Mark's thoughts there, actually. I mean, Newport unbeaten in their last 10, and Mansfield just missed out on automatic. Newport's goal difference was zero, Mansfield's was plus 28, but I think you can put a line through that now, because, you know, Newport have shown in the FA Cup over the past couple of seasons, they love these kind of occasions. And yeah, I think they're too big a price, really.
Isn't this the playoff where there's a really strong stat for the highest performing
fourth
team? It's enormous, isn't it?
Definitely fourth. There was a time, definitely, when fourth was the place to be. And there's no doubt that Mansfield were the best team, you know, of them four over 46 matches. But I don't think they've been the best team in sort of the last 10. And, you know, that does count, I think.
Jason, who do you think will go up? And are there any decent bets in the first legs?
It's three yeses for Newport, absolutely. Mansfield, they only lost one in their first 26, but like I said, their form has tailed off. They lost their last three games as well. You know, they only needed a result in one of them to more or less get up or, you know, get the win against MK Dons. Newport County, though, they had that cup run as well, and their league form wasn't great around the time of the cup run. You know, I think it was a replay with Middlesbrough. They had the Man City game at home. So if Newport didn't have that cup run, I think they would have been a lot more comfortable in getting a playoff place. Like I say, we're short at 7-2. There is 92 out there on Newport. I'd be backing that because, like I say, I'd fancy them against either Forest Green or Tranmere in the final as well.
Great. Everyone's a Newport fan. League One playoffs. The first legs are on Saturday. Saturday you've got Sunderland versus Portsmouth at 7:30 in a repeat of the AFL Trophy final. And then on Sunday at 12:15, Doncaster versus Charlton. All live on Sky. Really looking forward to it. Love the old playoffs. What's the latest betting on League One playoff, on League One, Jason?
Yeah, so we've Charlton favourites at 9-4. We've Portsmouth then 23-10, Sunderland 23-10, and Doncaster outsiders at 9-2.
James, we'll start with you. Who's going to go up, and what are the best bets in the first legs?
I think Charlton look worthy favourites in this one. Obviously, the Sunderland-Portsmouth is such a tight tie, but I actually like the look of Portsmouth to qualify in that one. They failed to score in only 5 of their 46 league games this season, took 4 points off Sunderland in the league, and they did win the whatever it was on penalty.
Oh, EFL.
Yes, EFL, sorry. pass me by in all the excitement at the
end. I was actually in Portsmouth for that. We happened to be going down to what's it called, Gunk Wharf Quays, or whatever,
the only
shopping centre.
Person there, were you? I mean,
no, with the pubs that we walked past this lovely old section where they've got all the old pubs down by the harbour, where you can imagine all the Navy people going in centuries gone by. That absolutely mobbed. It was great. Oh,
yeah.
Really good.
Charlton to go up, Portsmouth to qualify against Sunderland.
Okay, Jason, what do you like?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be going with Charlton as well. I think Sunderland and Portsmouth are fairly level. And like I said, there wasn't much to separate them throughout the season, and also the penalties in the cup final. I think Charlton, there's just a gap in quality between Sunderland, Portsmouth and Charlton and what Doncaster brings to the table. So therefore, I expect Charlton to qualify against Doncaster, and there'll be more pressure on either Sunderland or Portsmouth in the final. And also, if you want to look at form as well, if you look at the last 15 games, Charlton are actually, you know, top of the table. They've taken 34 points. That's 5 points more than Newton. That would be second based on the last 15 games. Lee Bowyer's done an incredible job there. So I just think Charlton at 9-4 is a bet, presuming that they have the easier tie against Doncaster, and then it's, you know, winner takes all in a final.
Okay. It's really kind of them to arrange it so that Portsmouth fans leave the stadium at 9:30 on Saturday night to drive back to Portsmouth.
That would be Newcastle, aren't they?
I don't know. Well, you think so, wouldn't you?
Weekend in Newcastle, yeah. Got to be the one.
Hmm. Mark?
Charlton to qualify. I think I went to the game Charlton versus Doncaster in the regular season. Charlton were very worthy winners in that. Now, of course, you know, no two games of football are ever the same. But I spoke to somebody at Charlton after the game, and they actually felt that Doncaster were much better than than what they showed on the day. So that
does your close pal Johnny Jacks?
Yeah, I'm not close pal, but yeah, I mean he said he was really pleased with the way they dealt with a very tricky team, and he was pretty confident that Doncaster would be up there as well come the end of the season. Charlton though, they had a lot of injuries at one part of the season. Since they've got some of them players back, they've been absolutely flying, and I agree with what everything's been said really, that they've got the easier tie, and so then, you know, probably not far off being 50-50 final, is it, against Sunderland or Portsmouth?
So the lads all think Newport County will win the League 2 playoffs. They all think Charlton will win the League 1 playoffs. Let's see what they think of the Championship. This is going to be absolutely superb. This has been brewing up to be a brilliant, brilliant little mini tournament for weeks now, and it has come to fruition. There's no Premier League on Saturday, but there are two absolute crackerjack playoff games. Starting at 12:30, Aston Villa versus West Brom. And then at 5:15, Derby versus Leeds. Can the lads spy a bet in any of these? We'll get their tips before we've had the outright bets on the Championship playoffs from Jason.
Yeah, so we've Leeds favourites at 17-10. We've Aston Villa 2-1. You can get 7-2 on West Brom, and Derby as outsiders at 9-2.
James, you're going first. First up, I think Leeds are terrible, terrible favourites. Do you agree, or do you think they'll confirm the superiority they showed over 46 games?
I do agree that they're not great value. I think, you know, they have had a difficult end to the season. I think Aston Villa are the ones coming into the playoffs in great nick. They just look, I expect them to beat West Brom. They look a more balanced team. And you look at the managers as well. You know, you've seen these miracles that Klopp and Pochettino have pulled off this week. And I just think with West Brom, you know, they got rid of Darren Moore. Then got a kind of interim manager in. I think Dean Smith he'd got off to a slowish start at Villa, but you know he's a very well regarded manager, and he's getting a lovely tune out of them now. I think they will qualify. If you can get kind of 8-11 about them to qualify, that looks a decent bet.
And who's going up?
Villa. I mean that Derby Leeds tie. I just don't know where to start with it really. I feel like I've watched this game about 20 times already this season, but I still don't really know what I feel about either side. So, Villa and who knows in Derby Leeds.
Jason, what are your views?
For me, I'd be back in Leeds for promotion for a couple of reasons. I think they've the easier tie. I think Derby's numbers in the first half of the season were quite poor to the results that we're getting. I think their numbers have improved in the second half of the season, and hence why they've got into the playoff. But Leeds, we remember how they started the first half of the season. You know, it was all bang, 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 flat out for 90 minutes. They've three games left. There's no reason why they can't revert to that style and be flat out for those three games to get promotion.
Well, they might be knackered, mightn't they?
No, it's mind over matter at this stage of the season. And plus, the benefit as well of being out of automatic race a week early also. So, like, they've had more than a week to prepare for this game against Derby. The Ipswich result is irrelevant. It didn't matter at the weekend. So I think Leeds at 17-10. Having said that, I wouldn't talk anyone out back in Villa either at the slightly bigger price. Villa have won 8 of their last 10. Dean Smith's done a fantastic job once he's got his feet under the table there and got things sorted out. Jack Grealish, unbelievable player for them. You know, the Premier League, I think it'd be great to see Bielsa in it next season. Nothing wrong with Villa being back in it either. I think West Brom, you know, I think James Shan there was thrown in at the deep end, really. I presume they had someone lined up maybe to come in and replace Darren Moore. But I think, yeah, Villa to win that tie, Leeds to win that tie, and I just fancy Leeds in the final.
Righty-ho, Mark.
Yeah, I wouldn't be as negative on Leeds as what you were, Bruce. I think they have got not an easy game. I mean, it's playoffs, but I've not been that impressed with Derby for most of the season, and I think that Leeds will progress, and I think Aston Villa will as well. And then in the final, I would make Leeds slight favourites. I mean,
would?
Yeah, I would. I mean, if you have a look at, I think, what they've done over 46 matches, even when they like lost to Sheffield United in that really key game, I mean, you know, they were pummeling them at times. And, you know, I mean, I think James said he didn't know where to start on Derby v Leeds. I mean, Bielsa will know where to start because he's studied them for a while. So I think the two favourites will go through. I think that there is a bit of a class difference there.
Should be good this, so looking forward to it.
I am, yeah, I really am.
Excellent. Right, then let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
My confidence is slightly deterred after Jason and Mark's views, but I'm going to go with Derby draw no bet against Leeds at 11-10. Mark?
Aston Villa to qualify against West Brom. Since the 2-0 defeat against West Brom, actually, that seemed to be the turning point for Villa. They've only had one defeat. That was against Norwich when it didn't really matter on the last day of the season. I've just had a look back. The last time Aston Villa lost a football match that Jack Grealish started was October the 26th.
Wow.
With Grealish and McGinn in midfield, Tammy Abraham up front, and I think the better coaching staff and setup, I think that will fully go in Villa's favour. And they had West Brom beat until Jay Rodriguez handballed that one in at the Hawthorns as well, didn't they? I think Villa will do West Brom.
What price of Villa to qualify there?
Yeah, about 13-20.
Okay, I mean, there was a 4-5 at the start of the week, which was a really good bet.
James?
Leicester to beat Chelsea. I think the 7-4 is a good price, whatever the context of the game. But if Chelsea go through tonight, as we're talking, then it'll look really, really good price.
And Jason?
Yeah, Leicester was going to be my nap as well. And look, we'll keep a straightforward treble there. We'll have a look at that. We'll enhance it and we'll get it on site. It's maybe... It's coming out about maybe 8-1, 7-1, 8-1 there for those three selections. So we'll enhance that and get that on site.
Okay, so go on to paddypower.com and it's football and then specials, and you will get the Racing Postcast enhanced treble. Lovely stuff, chaps. Mark, what does the rest of the weekend hold? You've got your travel plans sorted for Madrid now, haven't you?
Yeah.
Tell us.
I'm going on flying to Malaga on Thursday, and then on the Saturday, I'm getting a train via Cordoba into Madrid, which will get into Madrid just in time for the real drinking session to start, sort of lunchtime.
9 a.m.
No, we'd start that on the train. So into lunchtime. I couldn't get a hotel in Madrid on Saturday night, so I'm booked on a coach back to Malaga at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning. So just coach station after the game, sleep on the coach.
That'll bring back memories of our epic.
It will, it will. Yeah, I'm playing
Barcelona to Paris.
And I spy with Steve at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And then on the Monday morning, back from Malaga into Gatwick, and then hopefully round to the Seven Sisters for the Open Top Bus Parade.
Brilliant. Maybe. Sounds fun. James, what is your weekend?
I'm planning my trip to Baku for the Europa League final. I've not had a look at that.
It'll
yet.
Be cheaper, I think.
I will.
Alan Brazil was very very welcoming of the idea of two teams from London playing in Baku. He said, "With the greatest of respect, it's in Asia."
He's probably concerned about the carbon footprint, isn't he?
Yeah, you won't be getting a train via Cordoba to Baku.
Hopefully not. No, rail replacement bus.
Yeah.
No, I'm in the office all weekend, so, and plenty of football to watch.
Great stuff. And Jason, what about you? You normally work in weekends. It's the last sort of big one for you, football traders, isn't it?
It would be, yeah. I'm just back from holiday, so stuck in for the Saturday and Sunday shift this weekend, which I don't mind. The under 17 Euros are actually taking place in Ireland at the moment, so going to see France under 17s against Netherlands under 17s later on this evening, and then we'll see how the Europa League stuff goes tonight, and then I'll take a bit of a breather tomorrow because, like I say, it's been a hell of a week.
Where was your holiday?
Went over to UAE, so we're in Al Ain in Dubai with friends over there, and a holiday of a lifetime now. We really, really made the most of it. It was great spot.
Very, very good. Okay, Jason, thanks. Throughout the season, I hope we're going to have you before then, before the final postcards, but if we don't, you've been an absolute superstar throughout the season. Thanks very much to you for Cheers. All your input. Thanks, Mark. Thank you to James. Thank you for listening or watching. Hopefully you are fully armed with wisdom for the final meaningful weekend of the season. Don't forget, if you enjoy the shows, please do rate, review and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. That includes Spotify now. I'm back tomorrow for a look ahead to the weekend racing. We've got a racing podcast on Monday, golf on Wednesday, and we're back next Thursday to look ahead to the remaining playoff battles and, of course, Man City versus Watford in the 2019 FA Cup final.
Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's Same Game Multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the Same Game Multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.